We have caught up with Haochen Zheng. It's great that you're back with the Philadelphia Orchestra playing Rachmaninoff. Last time we spoke, you were in town to play the first and the fourth.
Yeah.
During the Rachmaninoff Festival.
Yeah.
What's your experience been with this concerto?
Of course, it's one of the most played piano concerto. I think, frankly, as young pianist, you cannot avoid playing this concerto. I've grown up listening and playing this piece, so it's always coming back to a familiar place, but always feeling fresh every time you play it. I think, really, the orchestra is such a perfect fit for Rachmaninoff. And, I mean, the composer himself said this is his favorite orchestra, and premiered a lot of his works with Philadelphia Orchestra under Eugene Ormandy.
You started when you were pretty young, at about 11. Yeah. So what does this mean to you? Can you talk about the challenges, not just technically, but also emotionally and psychologically?
Well, the challenge, of course, when I was little, the technique was really a big part of how do you conquer a piece like this. Of course, right now, technique is not ever an issue for me. But I think emotionally, yes, but more importantly, how do you interpret Rachmaninoff? Because it's been interpreted in so many ways, and people have also developed a certain kind of simplified image of Rachmaninoff, you know, the overly romantic, you know, that's the melodies pouring all over the place, you know, with a lot of rubatos. But when I find fascinating, and this is how it's going to affect my interpretation, is when I heard Rachmaninoff play himself. You know, he's not only a great composer, but one of the greatest pianists since the recording age. There's a lot of course, ample amount of rubato, but the character which you sense from his playing is kind of a very noble, almost in ways a bit distant. And it is very different from the overly sort of outward, very outward expressive image that we sometimes have for his music. And so I think that would affect how I view and how I would play all his concertos. Hmm.
So what draws you particularly to it when you're playing it? Are there certain parts, certain movements that draw you in more than others?
Well, first of all, the concerto itself is a masterpiece, really. I mean, it's not a cliche to say every passage was there for an inevitable reason. There are so many different sections I love, but I think the most powerful one is actually the beginning, where, you know, he starts from a bell like sound, boom, and no concerto begins that way, at least before him. And then when it finally arrives at this boom, boom, ba, boom, ba, boom, and the piano has this kind of ocean-like kind of wave sound, and which brings the orchestra in, that was such a powerful introduction. As an audience, you would be immediately drawn.
So it sounds as if, even though you've been playing it since you were 11 years old, as the years go by, you find yourself bringing different things to it.
Well, I guess that's why I said it's fresh for me every time, because you've discovered a little bit more. He's not only a great melody writer, but he also loves inner voices. So you're going to hear actually a lot of hidden voices beneath the melody. And to discover and to decide which inner voice you're going to bring out is an endless discovery. I mean, with each time playing it, you go, okay, I did something the last time, but I tried bring a different voice this time. So it's really been a joy.
Could we talk a little bit about you? You were born in China. You started playing piano very young. I understand your parents were not musicians, but you started winning a lot of competitions. You won first prize in the Shanghai piano competitions at age 7 and 9. At 12, you won the 4th International Tchaikovsky Competition for Young Musicians. What was it like going through all those competitions at such a young age?
I think, honestly, compared to a lot of kids from, let's say, Asia, I'm not counted as a frequent competition goer, I think. And I feel that I'm very lucky, actually, that the competitions that I've been to, I was always the youngest contestant. during that specific competition. And I think that helps with my psychology, how I deal with, you know, the pressure and all that. If you don't play well or you make some mistakes, you could get eliminated. So I think dealing with the pressure is the single biggest challenge. And I'm lucky that because I was the youngest contestant, I always feel like, oh, I'm just here to learn. I have nothing to lose because I tell myself, obviously, I'm much more inexperienced than all these friends and colleagues who are elder than me.
And then when you were 15, you came to Curtis.
Yeah.
And what was that like?
I think Curtis has always been less like a school, more like a big home because of its relatively small size of student body, but also just the feeling of if you go to the old building of Curtis, there's some kind of very intimate feeling and charm with the environment there. So everybody knows each other very well. Not only teachers, of course, I've benefited so much from learning with teachers like Mr. Grafman, but also learned so much from my friends. I think as a young person, you learn as much from your teachers as you learn from your friends. And that's what I got from Curtis. And also, not only music, but of course their opinions, the experience in life. So it really opened up my vision.
Right. So then when you were 19, you won the gold medal at the Van Cliburn International Piano Competition. And I guess that launched your recital and concertizing career.
Yeah. I think the one thing about Cliburn that is really unique, its goal is not to just produce a winner, but it's really trying to train a top-rate soloist. So after the competition's over, it's not that you just carry home a trophy with you, but you have, you know, several hundreds of concerts immediately engaged to the competition. And so I'm really, you know, glad to get all these kind of exposure to the experience of what a real concert soloist's life is like.
Right, with all the different demands, the recitals, the playing with orchestras, the chamber music, the travel, all of that.
Yeah, yeah. I think right after the Cliburn competition, someone asked me about, you know, how you're going to go on a tour immediately following the competition. How do you think about the challenge ahead? And I remember saying something like, there was nothing more challenging than the Van Cliburn competition itself because, you know, because of all the difficult repertoire and all the kind of crazy demands the competition has for each contestant. But actually, after going through these years, of course, I realized that the biggest challenge is the touring itself because you're forever learning. There is no kind of established comfort zone for you. You're always traveling from different places, meeting new people, sleeping in new beds every night, performing for different kinds of audience, which aesthetically very differ a lot from one another. So you're never comfortable. And that is not only a challenge, but an ongoing, never-ending challenge.
Well, it's wonderful to hear you. You bring your own special voice to this music, and I understand you're very interested in the psychological aspects of music as well. What does music mean to you? What role does it play in your life?
Music is just my way of communicating with the world. I remember in kindergarten, my mom just told me that she always saw me just running around myself in the playground when everybody else was playing with one another. And she always was frustrated. Like, how can I communicate with the world? I think I after I found piano, I know this is the medium through which I express myself. I think with music, it's expressing, it's saying so many things that cannot be expressed by words. And a lot of things that when you hear a great melody, you know the feeling, an exact feeling, and it's a really real feeling, but you don't know how to express it. You might think, oh, I think of something nostalgic or something melancholy, but you don't know what exactly it was. So it's very different from like words, which is very concrete. When you say the word table, it is a table, but when you say hear do, re, mi, fa, sol, it's nothing. But I think it's exactly that being the magic of music that is letting you discover something that about your own humanity that you would not have otherwise encountered during your daily life. So that's what I think about music.
Last time we spoke, you had just won the Avery Fisher Career Grant, and you were about to buy a piano. Did you get the piano?
Not until recently, actually. So, of course, my original idea was that I would take the awards money and buy myself a piano. But it's so hard to kind of pick up an ideal instrument. But recently, I just got a concert grant, actually, in my apartment, so which was really lovely. And actually got it from Curtis because it's an old concert grand they have. And it was picked originally by Rudolf Serkin, our old school director. So I think during my first couple years, it was in the Field Concert Hall, the old Curtis hall for hosting student recitals. So I've known the instrument, and now it's my home, and I feel like a certain kind of heritage because I've, you know, it's used to be in the school, and now it's in my home, and so playing it gives me a lot of inspiration.
That's a great story. That's the other thing with pianists in particular, when you're doing all these competitions and you're touring and you're playing recitals and you have a different piano every time.
Yeah,
you know, it's hard.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Yeah, I think all pianists are envious of violinists and cellists and basically all other instrumentalists, because not only they don't have to go through the hassle of adjusting a new instrument right before a concert, but they can actually be able to develop a personal relationship with one instrument. And because for us pianists, the only personal friend in the music world is music itself. In terms of instrument, we cannot have any personal relationship because we always travel. And you meet a new instrument for, you know, a couple hours, and then you never see them for another couple years or something. And so, you know, seeing all these violinists, you know, and cellists naming their violin and calling their instrument she or he, like, we're just really envious.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, at least you now have an old friend waiting for you in your home in Philadelphia.
Yeah, yeah.
Great. Thank you so much, Hao Chen Zheng.
Thanks, Susan.